We've been doing a series of studies here on the Pastor Study on the authority of the King James Bible. The last time that we were together, we were looking at a title or a lesson entitled, Jesus Said, He That Hath No Sword, Buy One. And of course, what we were doing is we were talking about how that the King James Bible is the Word of God, is a two-edged sword, amen. And if you have any other version, so-called modern Bible version, it's not a sword, amen. It's not going to be of any use for you in the spiritual battle as a Christian. And we were looking at some verses that really show that, that bring that out, and how these modern Bible verses really change things around, change the meaning of things, and so forth and so on. Now, if you go out in a battle, and we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, amen, that the Christian's battle is a spiritual battle, and you want the real sword, amen. You want a sword to be able to fight, the two-edged sword. And, of course, that's none other than the King James Bible, amen. Now, we're going to pick up and continue to look at some verses. First of all, we want to look at in John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6, in verse number 69. And then we'll compare the King James Bible with the New International Version, the same verse. We see in John chapter 6, in verse 69, the King James Bible reads, And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice how it reads in the NIV. It reads in the NIV, John 6, 69, We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Let me ask you, what happened to thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God? You see that the text here in the NIV changes. It's changed to state that Jesus is not the Christ. Amen? That's very important, is it not? Amen? We read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 22. In the King James Bible, the Word of God, it reads, Who is a liar? It's describing who is a liar here. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now notice with me. In the King James Bible, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, the King James Bible, the Word of God reads, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now notice with me how it reads, Romans 1:16 reads in the NIV. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Do they have a problem with Jesus being Christ? I think so. This really infuriates me. I cannot believe a person that is saved would do this to our Savior. Amen. Let's continue here. In the Word of God, the King James Bible, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we read, I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A verse of Scripture we're probably all very familiar with, amen. It's been an encouragement and a comfort to us, especially when we're going through difficult times and the devil's trying to get us to doubt that we can't get through it, amen. And we can't, but we can get through it with Jesus Christ through his strength, amen. Notice how Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 reads in the NIV. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Again, they've eliminated Christ. And according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, which we read earlier, we are looking at the Antichrist, someone who would remove or eliminate Christ. Amen. Look with me in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark with me, if you would, please. The Gospel of Mark in chapter number 13, in verses 5 and 6. And we read in the King James Bible, the Word of God, it says, And Jesus, answering them, began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Notice with me now how it reads in the NIV, Mark 13, 5 and 6. Jesus said to them, watch out, that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. Again, we see references to Jesus, to Christ, amen, is removed, that Jesus being the Christ. You see, the new Bibles line up with the cults, with the false religions, with the new ages. By making Jesus not Christ, amen, then they line up with, for example, Hindu, which says Jesus is the Son, and Krishna is the Father. They line up with Islam, that says Jesus, Isha, is a prophet, a nabis, or messenger of God. Or with the cults, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, which says that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. And the Mormons would say Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. Also with Edgar Cayce, who says Jesus is the reincarnation of Adam. Talk about nonsense, amen? And the Unification Church says Jesus appeared to Reverend Moon, telling him to start the Unification Church. And of course, the New Age, A Course in Miracles, was channeled to Helen Schumann by an entity calling itself Jesus. The Jesus Letters by Jane Palzer and Anna Brown was channeled from Jesus. And the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ was channeled to Levi Darling by Jesus. And the list goes on and on and on. We began our study here about Jesus said, he hath no sword, buy one. And we saw there with Saul, when they went to battle, remember we read in 1 Samuel chapter 13, in verse number 21 and 22, we read, yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. Will you let those that have a coulter, a fork, an axe, or a goad to be destroyed as Saul did? Or will you buy a sword and show them the difference between some garden tools and a real battle weapon? And that's all those other modern versions are garden tools. They're not a real battle weapon. As the Authorized Version 1611 commonly knows as the King James Bible is. It's the Word of God. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, preserved words of Almighty God. Amen. Well, now we want to pick up a new area of study as we continue our series of studies on the authority of the King James Bible. Let's look at the so-called archaic words and the King James Bible. You know, that's something we hear all the time. Oh, the King James Bible is full of archaic words. Amen. So we're going to look at what God does with archaic words. Remember, the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice, is it not? Thus, we will look at the Bible practice for archaic words. We will also review the charge that the King James Bible needs to be updated with more modern language. And lastly, we will review how many words and sayings are used today that are from the King James Bible and people do not even realize they are quoting the Bible. Amen? So that's what our next area of study is going to be, is with the archaic words, amen, the so-called archaic words in the King James Bible. So that's what we're going to look at right now as we continue these series of studies regarding the authority of the King James Bible. Now, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, we see the word archaic, adjective. It's abbreviated A-R-C-H. And we have three definitions I'll read to you of what archaic means. Of relating to or characteristic of a much earlier, often more primitive period. No longer current. This is the second definition. No longer current or applicable. Antiquated. Definition number three, of, relating to, or characteristic of words and language that were once common but are now used chiefly to suggest an earlier style or period. There are words in the King James Bible that are no longer used in the society. However, this does not give any reason to change. And we will review why. Amen. These so-called archaic words are used daily in publications, magazine articles, newspapers, and textbooks. I want us to look at some of those that have been used in various periodicals. Amen. We see them used. These so-called archaic words are being used today in modern publications such as the National Review, Byte, B-Y-T-E, magazine, PC Computing, The Economist, USA Today, Today Magazine, Forbes, Newsweek. These are magazines now. U.S. News and World Report, Wall Street Journal, plus more. People do not cancel their subscriptions to these publications, do they? They either ignore the word or look them up in a dictionary. Amen? Are Christians not as smart, and cannot they use a dictionary? Many of the articles are written, amen, recently. And I want to give you some of the words in the periodical that they appeared in. First of all, the word guile, G-U-I-L-E, appeared in Air and Space. Then we have the word lusty, L-U-S-T-Y, appeared in the Alberta Report. And then we have the word forbearing, appeared in American Heritage. The word dearth, D-E-A-R-T-H, appeared in the Chicago Tribune. And the word circumspect appeared in the Audubon periodical. The word brutish appeared in Forbes magazine. Whosoever appeared in History Today. Yea appeared in Griffith Observer. Public citizen. Amen. The word begat appeared in the Public Citizen. And then the word seer, S-E-E-R, appeared in the Wall Street Journal. And this is just a brief list, amen, of the so-called archaic words that are still used today in many of the magazines and periodicals and newspapers today. Now, are there as many archaic words as we are told, or do we just have a poor understanding of our own language? The most important reason not to change is because God explains how to deal with the text in His Word, amen? For example, shambles, S-H-A-M-B-L-E-S, is a word that is used in a different manner in our society. To think of shambles, what do you think of? Well, possibly your child's bedroom, or maybe your husband's office, or your living room after entertaining company. Amen. Well, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 25, we read in the King James Bible, it says, "Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake." Shambles in the text is used today as the words, a marketplace. To look at the marketplace now, we do not see shambles. We see very organized aisles, very bright and shiny displays, food very neat and in order. However, remember the slides that missionaries show? Notice how the marketplace is in shambles. That is why shambles is used to describe a marketplace in the Bible. Meat is just hung on display. Fruit and vegetables are laid out in a very unorganized manner in comparison to American shops. Now we use marketplace or meat market. Amen. Now, what is the Bible practice for archaic words? We would want to see that. What is the Bible's practice for archaic words? Well, let's turn to 1 Samuel, if you'll turn to 1 Samuel with me, in chapter number 9. 1 Samuel chapter number 9 with me, please. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse 6 down to verse 11. "And he said unto him, Behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, But, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Verse 9, Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, Come, let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, Well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, Is the seer here? The archaic word in our passage is the word seer, S-E-E-R. God says it is, because we note the parentheses in the text, do we not, in verse 9? God wrote before time in Israel, in the parentheses we read in verse 9. A word was used in the past, but now a different word is used. When you are writing to someone and you want to explain the text, you put parentheses around the explanation. God is making a statement to explain what a seer is, a prophet. He explains it and then continues to use it in the very next verse. In fact, a total of 20 times, God uses the word seer, even after he explains that it means prophet. Do not replace it in the text. Amen. God didn't. Then why would we even think we could? In fact, in August 1996, Wall Street Journal, seer is used in the main cover article. Amen. Now, the next few verses we will look at is how God has implanted his word upon our lips, regardless if the person is saved or not. We will look at some common sayings, in some cases slang, that is used today. We will compare to the more up-to-date translations to determine if they're actually using today's English or if the King James is using the more modern English. This is not to say the others are translated wrong, only to say God's word is upon our heart and lips, regardless. Amen. First of all, we want to look at in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. It says, "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." I have learned, see the expression there, I have learned by experience. This saying is used on a regular basis in the world, is it not? Yet we are told the King James is archaic. Amen? Now, let's see how it reads in the NIV. Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. "But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." Learned by divination. Is that what is said today? Of course not. No one ever said they learned by divination. Amen? Let's look at another example. In Genesis chapter 31 and verse 37. In the King James Bible, it reads, "Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff." That's where we want to see that word stuff. "What hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both." See that word stuff? We use that all the time. Go get my stuff. I have so much stuff in my attic, I need to get a shed to put my stuff in it. When we come to visit, where are we going to put all that stuff? Amen? Stuff. Now, the NIV reads in Genesis 31, 37, "Now that you have searched through all my goods." Is that a common phrase? A phrase that flows off the lips of everyday folks? Not likely. Let's look at another example. King James Bible, Romans 13, 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. The word of God reads, "In that, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." We see that word, high time, was used in the Newsweek magazine, February 22nd, 1988. In the NIV, it reads, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Again, we see the expression high time is removed. It's changed. But the words high time, the expression high time, is something that's commonly used today, is it not? Let's look in Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 27. "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end." Amen. That's a common expression that we've used. Maybe you felt like you've been at your wits' ends. Amen. Your wits' ends. In fact, that wits' ends is used, or was used, in Newsweek magazine, that same edition, February 22nd in 1988. Amen. Wits' end. We've all at some time in our life probably felt that we've been at wits' ends. Amen. And been felt very troubled. Amen. And that again is Psalm 107, 107, verse 27. 107, verse 27. Now, let's look at another example. In Nehemiah, in chapter 13, verse 11, we read in the Word of God, the King James Bible, "Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place." Look at how it reads. See that expression we use? When you set somebody in their place, set them in their place. Amen. Maybe you've even set somebody in their place. Amen. Straighten them out on something. Notice how it reads in the NIV. Nehemiah 13:11. "Then I call them together and station them at their posts." See that? It's changed. That common, everyday expression that we use, set them in their place, doesn't appear in the NIV. Now look at also. Amen. As we turn to Isaiah 65, verse 5. In the King James Bible, we read, "Which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and fire that burneth all the day." We see that expression. Maybe some of you have used it. Holier than thou. Notice how it reads in the NIV, in Isaiah 65, 5. "Who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you." See that? It's gone. Holier than thou is said all the time when someone is attempting to cut you down for attempting to do something that is right. Amen? They'll say, you're holier than thou. You try to witness to them on how to be saved, you're holier than thou, they'll say. Amen. But that expression, holier than thou, comes from Isaiah 65, 5 in the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible, but it does not appear in the NIV. Amen. Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 10, we read, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." We see the expression, "you all." And in 2 Corinthians 7:15, "And his inward affection is more abundant towards you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him." "You all" is a common phrase. In the South, it's changed to "y'all" with the accent. Consider this. Paul was a Southerner, was he not? He was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Southern tribe. Amen. Well, we're going to stop right here on the pastor's study as we continue our study on the authority of the King James Bible. We've been looking at our lesson here today, our study today around about the speaking about the archaic words in the King James Bible. We're going to pick up where we've left off next time, as we continue to talk about the authority of the King James Bible. That's all the time we have on the pastor's study.